Blog Talk Radio.
Go away.
We need it done tonight.
Shout it,
Moultrie, baby. So shout out to Moultrie. I interviewed them. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. And I love them, as you can see. And, you know, when I first heard that song, I was like, wait a minute, guys. You mean to tell me that you wrote a song, did a video, and I wasn't in it? That sucks. But the next one, for sure, they promised that I'll be in it. So how y'all doing tonight? I hope everybody is doing well and had a great day. And if you're tired, I hope this all wakes you up, because tonight we're going to have Drama of a Ball-Headed Queen, which is really the memoirs of Miss Nina C. Bruton. So I'm really excited to get in tune with her. I mean, she's authentic, transparent, purpose-driven. And, you know, she just have a few objectives and descriptions in her books that I just really think that everybody can relate to. So I'm definitely excited to have her on the show tonight. So for all those who want to dial in and ask questions, you can dial in at 818-495-6975, and you will be in tuned with Miss Nina C. Bruton. Now, if you guys see me, like, you know, jacking up during this interview, let me just tell you, I had a hell of a day, okay? But I'm here because the show must go on. You see what I'm saying? You see how I'm messing up already? But anywho, in addition to that, like, I haven't had sugar in my coffee for I don't know how long. And I went to go get an iced coffee and, you know, no sugar, just, you know, a little bit of milk or whatever. Lo and behold, you know, I didn't realize that it was sugar because all the sugar had settled to the bottom. So by the time I took, like, this big gulp, I had this whole, like, flush of sugar, and I just been, like, antsy, and my nerves been bad ever since then. So it's just amazing. If I'm not tweaking from lack of caffeine, I'm tweaking from an OD of sugar. So it's, like, really no balance. So right now I'm all over the place, guys, so bear with me, okay? So for all those who are tuned in for the first time, I just want to say welcome. And for all those who continue to support the Intune show, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all. I want to give a shout-out to Miss Austin because she did a cute little drop for me, and I can't wait till the 19th. So all you guys have to tune in on the 19th at 4 p.m. to get in tune with her, and then you guys will get to hear my little drop. It's so cute. I'm not going to give it away. I was just about to, but I caught myself. So we're waiting for Miss Nina C. Bruton to give us a call in, which will be any minute now. So for all those who want to write this down, that are avid book readers or just like to, you know, have a good book in your collection, and I also think it's digital, which is a good thing too, but I had the opportunity to get a signed copy, so yay, Miss P. So it's called Dramas of a Ball-Headed Queen, a memoir, Nina C. Bruton, and that's B-R-E-W-T-O-N. So, you know, get that book and definitely, definitely support. And, yes, cracking up is definitely what, you know, I do every time I hear the drop, Austin. So shout out to Austin again for the drop. It's really, really cute, and I can't wait. So for all those who want to submit drops, you definitely can. You can send them to intuneshow@aol.com, and that's N-T-U-N-E-D-S-H-O-W, because, you know, I consider them all, but all of them don't get played. It has to be really cute. So when you guys get to hear that on the 19th, then you'll understand the direction we're going in here, okay? So while we're waiting for Ms. Nina Bruton to give us a call in, I figure we'll play a track. And for all those who love 112, you know, I had them all on the show for the exception of one, but it's going to happen because I'm determined. So this one goes out to all my baby babies, which is all you guys, and this one is by Slim from 112. Enjoy until Nina gives us a call in.
Save money, you won't. Prada. I'ma put it on it, cause I like you and my woman looks fancy. Cause that's the fly, she gotta match me. And looking at the size, I don't know how much the paper that hit the dough. See that for the haters to say goodbye. Oh, I won't stand on just any lady. She's gotta be special just like she is. Yeah, them haters gon' hate, so let them watch. We gon' keep shining like diamonds in your watch. You always hear them say it ain't tricking if you got it. Well, I'm here to say it ain't tricking if you love it.
From 112, and it's called Baby Baby, obviously. So definitely get in tune with him ASAP. So without further ado, let's bring on Miss Nina C. Bruton. How you doing tonight, Nina?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Miss P?
I am doing great now that I have your beauty, your essence, positivity, and just, you know, empowerment across the airways right about now.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, really, though, I enjoyed the book, and I love the cover. I love the concept, and I think you're just so adorable in the back of the book as well. So you get to see, like, two different stages of Nina, you know?
Yes.
In my opinion. So, but I'm going to let you explain all of that to our listeners. For everyone that's getting in tune with you for the first time, tell us a little bit about who is Nina C. Bruton.
Nina C. Bruton. I am I'm currently a resident in Virginia. I've been in Virginia for, goodness, 12, almost 11 years. And I'm originally from Wichita, Kansas, and that's one of those things that people, when you look at me, no one ever expects me to be from Kansas. And so I like that part. You know, I always give pause when people hear where I'm from. They ask me, and I say, "Oh, I'm from Wichita, Kansas," and they pause as if I'm gonna tell some punchline like it's a joke. But I wouldn't lie about that. But at the same time, I can't imagine being raised anywhere else. I mean, it truly made me the woman that I am. And so I'm a writer, I'm a speaker and a vocalist, I mentor young ladies, well, youth in general, and have worked in the college, at the college level, and as a residence hall director. I really love just pouring into young people and helping them to get a great start in life, in their adult life, you know, and try to just help them not make life so difficult. And so that's really what led me to write Dramas of a Bald-Haired Queen.
Definitely. So let's elaborate a little bit on the books, but, you know, without giving too much of the book away, but really hitting on some key points, because the main idea tonight, Nina, is really for people to just get this book.
Sure,
definitely.
Please do.
You know, yeah, no, don't please do. Do it. Do it. Get in tune. Definitely. So, you know, you said you're from Wichita, and I thought it was so cute because you also implement pictures. What was, you know, not a lot of authors do that. So I like the whole collage thing and things of that nature.
Right.
So what inspired you to add that to the theme of the book?
I'm a visual person. Even though I'm a writer, I'm really a visual person. I'm a visual learner. I love to see people's worlds. And so, you know, that's why I like really love Instagram and, you know, in Twitter. And it's microblogging and, you know, what all people use it for, because I just enjoy seeing the whole person as much as possible. And so when writing Dramas of a Bald-Haired Queen, I definitely not only wanted people to imagine what my life was like growing up in Wichita, Kansas, but I wanted them to see, when I talk about my issues with self-image, I wanted them to see me at that point. And, you know, I wanted them to be able to see how I evolved from, you know, this little nappy-haired black girl in Wichita, Kansas, to, you know, I think a beautiful black woman
mm-hmm.
in Hampton, Virginia, and just see the transition and see my parents and the people who created me and how I got my eyes and how I got my smile, where those came from. I like to show people, you know, just as much as I like for them to read and imagine it for themselves. These aren't just characters mm-hmm. in a book. You know, these are real people. And so I definitely didn't want them to come up with their own idea of, you know, what my mama looked like.
No, definitely. And what, you know, our listeners don't know is what about your mom?
Well, and the book is a memoir, and so they will definitely get it all. Just, you know, just touching bases, my mother, I was raised in an unconventional home. In multiple unconventional homes, pardon me. My mother was actually a lesbian, and she was a lesbian. She was one of the greatest individuals you'll ever know, but she had her demons as well. You know, she was a drug abuser. She suffered from mental illness, but at the same time, she tried with everything she could to be the best mother she knew how to be with what she had available. You know, parents can't do more than they know how to do.
Right.
And I really, that's one of the points that I really try to drive home when I explain my relationships with my parents. Yeah, they screwed up, but in my own life, I've screwed up too. And a lot of times young people don't see that. People don't see that. You know, we want to put everything off on our parents. Well, I'm this way because, you know, my dad was an alcoholic, or my mama was, you know, a lesbian or a cokehead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you have to make a decision, you know, who am I going to be?
Right, definitely.
So.
And I think you kind of, like, filter that from early. And I think we all kind of do have an idea of who we want to be overall as you start to progress in life. And the amazing thing about it was, like, you knew you wanted to be a model.
Right. Right.
You know, and, you know, I recall reading in the book how you said that when the teacher asked what you want to be, and they just kind of, like, joked it away, like, okay, Nina, whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, and I think anybody can relate to that. Anybody. Because
yep.
whether you said that, hey, you know, I think I'm going through, like, the whole stage of maybe I'm a lesbian or maybe I'm bisexual or maybe I'm whatever, everyone experienced being turned away or someone trying to be negative or trying to crash your dream, so to speak. But you
right.
still carried yourself with this poise, like, hey, this is what it is, you know? And another
right.
thing that I wanted to touch on was the fact that, you know, your mom was multicultural.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, and a lot of people wouldn't, you know, get that just upon just looking at you as a person overall. And that's another thing I wanted to touch on as far as, like, culture is concerned, because, like, I tell people around me when they say, well, what's your culture? I was like, hey, we're mixed with everything. Do you not know that? Like,
everything.
I can't pinpoint.
Americans are all mixed up.
Yes. Yes. So upon looking at Nina, you wouldn't say, hey, her mom has straight hair and white. You know what I mean? You wouldn't even, you know, people wouldn't even put that whole correlation together. And what I'm
right.
making a point to say is that just like a you know, a litter of kittens come out different, some with spots, some all black, some white. This is what it is. So we all come out differently. It doesn't mean that
yes,
our parents
indeed.
Isn't who they are. So
right.
please tell us a little bit about your experience growing up with that.
It was interesting because my mother, for those of you who have not read the book yet, my mother was born in Germany. She's a German. She's one of the brown babies. And she was an orphan in my grandparents, that the people I know as grandparents, adopted her and brought her back to the States. Excuse me. But her father, my understanding is that her father was a soldier, and a black soldier, and her mother was, you know, a German woman. And so a lot of biracial babies were left in the 1950s, you know, post-World Wars and World War II, and they were left there. And so a lot of American families actually did end up adopting these children, not only from Germany, but from other parts of Europe, and bringing them back to the States. So my mother was biracial. She did not speak German. Her adoptive family was black, so she was raised in Clarksville, Tennessee. My grandparents were both very dark-skinned, had very dark complexions, and my mother was the total, both her and her other adopted brother were both the total opposite of that, and both being biracial, but from two different families. They were orphans and two different families. So it is interesting because, like you mentioned, people won't look at me and know that I'm biracial. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I went over to Germany and we got ready to go out to, you know, some of us were getting ready to go out to a pub or something. So we go to one of the German pubs and I'm with a group of, you know, seven or eight people, and three of us were black and the rest were white. And I was so amazed. I wasn't expecting to run into any racism there, especially being a military town. And I remember we go in the pub, and the guy says, no, you three, you cannot come in, but all of you can. And I sat there and I said, but what he doesn't know is that I have more German in me than the white people that were with me. That didn't, you know, they were from wherever, their families are from wherever they were, but none of them were German. But to look at me, you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, and you know, I wish to God I had been, you know, known some German so I could spit it at him and you know, really blow his mind. But my mom,
right.
She rarely she would only speak German when she was like pissed on another level. Like if my brother and I had taken her just too far.
Right.
She would you know, rattle off some Deutsch, but she'd hold it together otherwise.
Right, definitely. I think your mom was awesome, in my opinion. From,
thank
you.
You
know, I do, because of the simple fact that, you know, we as moms, for those who are mothers or whatever, and you're dealing with, you know, just whatever you're dealing with, because we have to remember that your mom was adopted and things of that nature. Although we don't, you know, try to keep that in the forefront, it's still something that scars us and still something that kind of eats away at us. Different things, like how you talked about how your mom used to talk to her, your granddad, but always at a certain time, and, you know, it was always like this fixed time. You know, we don't know what goes on in our parents' heads, you know.
Right.
So I just think that your mom did a great job with you and your brother because she kept the rules.
Oh my,
like, you
yes.
clean up. You can't do this, you can't do that. So no matter what was going on inside of her, she still was able to give you guys that structure that was
right.
needed. You know, so I commend her, and, you know, I think she was an awesome mom.
Yes, thank you. I do agree. And a lot of times I'll tell people that I feel like my life is a contradiction. When I tell them about, you know, the fact that she was a cokehead, or, you know, the fact that she had a ridiculous temper, and, you know, or would curse at us, you know, real foul language, but at the same time, she was this, like you said, she was this great mom. We were real structured. We would learn, you know, different times to do things, how to clean a bathroom, how to clean up behind ourselves. You know, she was at every game that we had. She was at every concert. That's my baby. I mean, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just goes back to the fact that our parents are they have their own issues before we ever even come along.
Right.
And so I try to encourage people, don't take the things that their parents do or don't do, excuse me, as a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents want the best for you. They do. Excuse me. Sometimes they just literally don't know how to do better. And so I chose, you know, some children will take it and blame their parents for all the reasons that they're not making it in this world, whereas I took everything that my parents did and said, okay, I want the negative and said, okay, I won't do that, but I will do this. All the good things about my mother, I really try to focus on being that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely. And, you know, it betrays. It definitely does, you know. And, again, like I said, I think she was awesome at what she, you know, she contributes to your growth and development. So hats off to your moms for doing what she did. So what was the hardest part of writing this book altogether? Because this is like your life in these pages.
Yes.
So as you were composing these words and putting this all together, like what was the hardest part? When you got to a certain point, did it make you have to stop and, you know, resonate with it? Did it make you feel, you know, afraid to keep going? I mean, what were your emotions and, you know, what was the hardest part about that?
Oh, wait, that's a good question. I think the hardest part, my mother, she passed away nine years ago. And so writing about her to me was kind of easy because I didn't really have anyone to answer to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say in the book, that this is my observation. This is how I perceive my life's events. And I make that clear. However, you still know that your family members are going to read it. And so I think it was difficult, one, sharing how much of myself, my personal struggle as an adult with promiscuity, with alcoholism, things like that. That was difficult, but God gave me peace in saying, but Nina, you weren't worried about being embarrassed about the things when you were doing them.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you be embarrassed now that you've been delivered from them? Why would you not write about it now? And so I said, okay, Lord, that makes sense. It makes sense. And so I began to write more freely. So then I get to, writing about my father, who is still alive and doing very well. And he told me the same thing. Sweetheart, he said, whatever it is that you have to write about me, whatever you have to say about me, do it. He said, I know that the purpose of this book and that we've raised you to be transparent, we've raised you to be loving. And he knew my heart. He knew that everything that I was putting out in the book, whether it was about other people or about myself, was with the intention of allowing others to learn from our mistakes as a family and as individuals. You know,
absolutely.
And not only our mistakes, but also from our triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, sweetheart, the things that I've gone through have made me the man that I am today. So by all means, share them. Tell it all. And so that really gave me peace enough to be able to move forward. I remember the night he told me that, and I was able to write freely.
Right. And this one part, well, there's a lot of parts in the book, and this is why you guys have to really, like, get this book, and Nina will, you know, get us all in tune to where we can get it from in a bit. But I like, the one sentence I liked the most is, I'm remarkably focused, motivated, and determined to keep my feet planted in God's will.
Yes. Yes.
That right there, like, I'm reading, and I'm just like, wait a minute. And I just kept rereading that one sentence. And although it may not be, like, something that jumps out to another reader, but that was definitely something that resonated with me at that particular moment in my life. And I'm just like, wait, is she writing this about me? No. You know, it was just like, is this book about me? I really think so. But I think the reason why I'm putting it out there is because it's about her life, but there's a lot of positive, like, I mean, everything in here is just, like, awesome, seriously.
Right. Thank you.
So you give, like, poetry. You just give a combination in a book, and I've read tons of books. The style and the way you put it together, and like I said, the pictures alone, because I was talking to someone else about it, too, and I was like, yeah, and she did a collage, and, you know, it was just like that. So this is how I want people to, you know, our listeners to get this book and resonate with it like how I did with it and really take it apart to get to the essence and the meat of what she's putting out there to the in the universe. So my next question would be to you, Nina, like, how did you come up with the whole cover concept?
Ooh-wee. You know, the cover concept actually came from a brother named Cabana Black, and we were looking to do – he's a stylist and singer, entertainer here down in Hampton Roads with this excuse me, with a local band. And so he last – I think in 2010, we were trying to put together some promotional materials for the book. The book wasn't even done yet. But I said, the book – we already had the book title. And so he said – well, let's do this. I have this great idea. And so it was based on, loosely on this album cover of Diana Ross, a photo of Diana Ross. And so we thought we'd just recreate that and it'd be dope to do, right? So literally my girl, C. Jackson, she's currently in Brooklyn. She did my makeup, and the makeup took longer than it took for the actually get the photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my photographer, his name is Janelle Webb of Shujin Photography. He is an amazing, amazing photographer. I've worked with him for over 10 years, and he shot it, and I literally was handing out flyers. I had flyers, and one day I was driving westbound on I-64, and God spoke it to me and said, that's your book cover. I mean, it was clear as day. It just clicked. And, you know, God speaks to different people different ways, but I heard him in my spirit. He said, that's the book cover. And he gave me three reasons. One, because it's this fly, so he gave me four reasons. I think it's over. And so, but one, it signifies coming out of the darkness into the light.
Yes.
That's one. Two, looking at the cover, it's almost as if I'm naked. It appears as if I'm naked and I'm burying myself, right? Mm-hmm. And three...
Right.
Dramas. I'm an indoor four. This is four, right? As an entertainer, I also am a spoken word artist and a vocalist, and I dabble in theater here and there. It's dramas being me on stage, and the photo, the cover appears as if a spotlight is on me. So like I'm on stage, sharing with you all and performing for the world, and all of those things are what I gathered from that photograph. And I said, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. This is definitely the cover. It says so much, Dramas of a Bald-Haired Queen. It says so much.
No, it totally does.
There was no other photo to use.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was a good, you know, theme, how you put it all together. Because when you first sent me your info, I opened up the picture and I was like, wait a minute, I'm in love with this. Like, this is like should be my screensaver for my computer. Like, it was just like that captivating to me. Like, it's gorgeous. I love it. And also the photos that you sent with the mannequin heads and things, what was the whole premise of that concept?
I just have some great people around me. just in a hair shop one day, and we thought it'd be hilarious to just do a shoot with some wig heads. So we bought the wig heads from the Asian lady, from the Koreans, and I brought them home, and they sat here for, you know, 2 years. I've had these wig heads. And finally I said, you know what? It's funny because all wig heads, and I haven't given this a whole lot of thought, you know, to make it deep and, you know, make it sound, you know, all wonderful. But giving it some thought at this moment, looking at all wig heads, right, their faces are always done the same. They always have this, the same nose, the same eyes, the same makeup. Normally they're blue-eyed, even if unless maybe they're for, you know, brown-skinned people. But even then, they all have the same look. And so I wanted to take the photos with the wig heads to say, it's almost as if I'm saying, I'm ruling, I'm taking over the world standard of beauty. And I'm taking ownership and taking dominion over my own beauty. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at these mannequins like, you're not the standard of beauty. You're not. But I have that within me. And that's part of what, you know, when I discuss the self-image in dramas, it's we really have to get beyond everyone else's expectation of what our beauty is supposed to be as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Not even as a race per se, but as individuals. embrace your own beauty. Mm-hmm. No one else is going to have, you know, someone may see me and say, oh, you remind me of my cousin, or, you know, someone this girl I used to go to school with, right, but she's not me.
Right.
She's not me and I'm not her. She has her beauty and I have mine. So that's where it is. I decided to do something to do, and then it all came together. And Janelle Webb, he did an amazing job with that shot and, you know, doing whatever photographers do with pictures.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all awesome, and I think that's what stands out the most for me with you, is not just, you know, it's a combination of the book, it's a combination of your personality, and it's also, like, a huge, because, you're, like you said, visual is always a good thing for people when you're trying to, you know, market yourself or do something of that nature. And, you know, the pictures alone just speak in volume. So it's definitely good people around you and definitely creative. And, you know, I love it. So
thank
hats
you.
Off to
thank
that.
You so
no, thank you. So I'm going to break the monotony a little bit because I'm not done with you, but I definitely want to take a phone call because they've been on hold for a little bit. So let's take a phone call if that's okay with you, Nina.
By all means. Thank you. We'll
okay.
Do it.
No problem. So 843, you're on the line with Miss Nina and Miss P. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, ladies?
Great.
Wonderful. Hello, hello.
Okay, it's Phoenix. I just wanted to tell Miss Brewington that I really, 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 really am proud of her. You know, I've been following you for a minute, you know, and I remember when you were talking about putting the book out, and then you did it, so that's big. A lot of people talk what they're going to do but don't do it. So I just wanted to say that, and I just wanted to show love to the Intune show as well.
Aw, thank you, Phoenix.
Thank you so much, Phoenix, and I know exactly who you are. It's just a look. This man been showing me love for months, and I'm grateful for that. Like you said, you've been here, and I'm proud to be able to say that to know that people are watching and that they see something come to fruition. You know, like you said, a lot of people talk, and I talk about that in the book. Like, I never wanted to be one of those people who had all this potential and never lived up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or had great ideas and never followed through. The last thing, y'all wasn't going to be on Twitter talking about, that girl still talking about writing this book.
That would have been me, Nina. That would have been me.
See?
Like, 10
that's
years later.
10 years later.
Just still one sentence. Just still one sentence.
She got the same one excerpt on her website. Lord.
Exactly.
So, thank you so much. Phoenix, I couldn't have done it without your final push, boo. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're totally welcome. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Phoenix.
Thank you.
Yeah, so she's totally awesome herself. So shout out to Phoenix, you know, for
definitely
always being supportive and things of that nature. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your experience and, you know, as a veteran.
Oh, wait. I was just telling someone yesterday, I was in the Air Force, and so I got out in 2005, and yesterday I was speaking to a Marine. You know, the Marines are crazy, and I love y'all. God bless you. Y'all work hard. But some things off the chain. And so in talking to the brother, I said, you know, I said, honestly, you know, he was trying to give me some grief about being in the chair force and, you know, not ever having to go to combat, whatever. That's cool. I'm too cute for combat. But,
right?
And I'm too sensitive. I wouldn't make it. I'd punk out. But, but I told him, I said, you know, when it comes to like Veterans Day, I really have a hard time when people say, Happy Veterans Day, thank you for all you've done. I'm like, I haven't done anything. Thank you. You know, I say thank you and kind of keep it moving, but there are so many men and women who have done so much more than I could ever even dream of doing.
Mm-hmm.
As a member of the United States military in armed forces, I honor them. And so just to even be in the ranks, you know, I can't even say how grateful I am, really. And joining the military I joined on a whim, really. You know, I never planned to, like, go in. And, you know, some people, they dream of, you know, retiring at 20 years. And I never wanted to do that. But I wouldn't take it back. My 5 years that I did, my little 5 years that I did, I wouldn't take it back for nothing. I don't regret it. I enjoyed my time in. I enjoyed serving my country. I got to do a little bit of traveling, and that got me here in Virginia, where I am, which is just another chapter in my story, right? So
mm-hmm.
It's all for the good. I enjoy it.
Definitely. So what is the main idea that you're trying to convey to all your readers out there? Like, what are you trying to come across with? We know it's your life story, but with the story being about your life, what are you trying to bring to the forefront overall for people to know?
Ultimately, the thing that keeps coming up is, excuse me, it's about so much more than just hair or self-image. And it goes to show how important our family dynamics are and the things that we take away from our family. Most importantly, the love of God has been the one thing that has kept me grounded and my family grounded. My father, like I said, he's been delivered from, you know, some his own long line of stuff. And not to say that he still doesn't, you know, still isn't still growing, because he is, even at 50, whatever he is, 7, 8, Lord, he's getting old. He's still growing. I really want people to take away from Dramas of a Ballhead Queen the power of grace and the power of love. Ultimately, the love of Christ, the grace of God, and I want people to be gracious, learn to be gracious with themselves, to be forgiving of themselves, as I've had to do. I want them to learn to be forgiving towards their loved ones, perhaps lovers who have, you know, burned them or scorned them or whatever. Forgiveness and love are ultimately the things that I want people to take away from Dramas of a Ballhead Queen.
Right, definitely. And that's powerful in itself, you know, because a lot of people can't resonate with self. You know, for me,
right.
I'm still a work in progress. So for me to sit down and write a book about myself, I don't think that book would ever come to fruition, because I would stop so many times and probably have meltdowns. Like, oh, my God, I can't do this, you know, especially today when I tweeted about the coffee, Nina, you know. I know next time I have to have one for you with the sugar in it, you know. I definitely can't do that one. So it's like one of those moments. Like, if you see me tweak about coffee, imagine writing an entire book. That would
right,
be crazy.
It'd be a problem.
Yeah, definitely would be. So I just wanted to also know, like, with your style of writing, you know, do you have any other projects that you're currently embarking on?
I'm actually, excuse me, I'm currently working on, there are other books. One of the things, one of the greatest gripes that I've received from regarding Dramas of a Ballhead Queen is that people are like, I wanted more. Like, I wanted details on this part or this part or whatever happened to such and such. And so there are other books on the forefront based on specific issues. One of the next ones that I intend to touch on will be the relationship that women have with one another, and how important it is that we get back to supporting one another the way that we should. That's one thing. I think, and then my husband and I have a vision for a book that we're going to put together regarding the things that we've learned as newlyweds. We've been married for 4 years, so there's a lot to be learned in the first,
mm-hmm.
well, in marriage in general. And so we want to share that with individuals. And in addition to that, I do, as I mentioned before, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a minister. I do speak to young people and young adults and adults, whoever, families, whomever needs it. And I intend to continue doing that. And we're creating a one-woman show based on Dramas of a Ballhead Queen. So I intend to take this particular book to the stage.
Definitely. So not only, you know, are you writing, but you also, like you said, do spoken word and you sing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, all of those yummy things that you like to do outside of writing.
Yes. I do sing. A lot of times when I speak, or if I ever feature at open mics or attend open mics or do any shows, I a lot of times incorporate music and poetry at the same time. I most times than not, I am inspired to write particular pieces based on a song, excuse me, that I've heard. That'll be my motivation, and or I should say my inspiration. So I do a bit of both. I'm blessed to, I sing, you know, on my church's praise team, so I'm there, you know, 2 days, 3 days out of the week for rehearsals and whatnot. I enjoy that. On occasion, I do sing background vocals for local artists and whoever needs. I don't intend to ever, people have asked about doing an album, toyed with the idea of doing a soundtrack, quote unquote, for Dramas of a Bald Head Queen. So, you know, you never know. I'm not opposed to doing anything. If I am blessed to be able to sing or speak or be creative with my words and the way that I convey the stories of my life, then I will continue to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I will always do so. Next Saturday, for example, I will be at the 10th annual Happily Natural Day in Richmond, Virginia. And this weekend, actually, they're hosting it in Atlanta, the same event but in Atlanta. And 10 years ago, I was at the first Happily Natural Day, and I performed with a sister named Queen Sheba. We did, she's a big, 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 wonderful, magnificent spoken word artist and slam champion. And I used to do some work with her, and now here 10 years later, I'll be back at Happily Natural Day where it all began, celebrating with them, and I will be facilitating a workshop for youth, and we'll be discussing the media and my self-image.
Mm-hmm.
It's very necessary right now that young people get an idea, they really get grounded and get a strong foundation in knowing who they are, and excuse me, and being able to differentiate the individuals they want to be and that they are created to be with the person they see on the television screen or on the internet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we'll be doing, and I'm sure that I'll also, you know, work some poetry in there and some song in there as well.
Absolutely. So I just, you know, have one big question, and that question is this. You know, from hearing you talk and everything, it seems like the reception has been great from your release.
Yes.
And that's awesome, and I love it, and I can totally see why you have been getting such good reception back from people. But if you can take anything back in this book, if you could do it all over again, would you change anything in this project at all?
No. I would, I've learned the only difference that I would make is the self-publishing process is an interesting one. And so I'm new to that. But as far as the content of the book, not at all. I might have added more scriptural references for my churchy folk.
Mm-hmm.
I have. But even still, I don't think that I'd even done that. I like that I present God and I represent God and I present Christ to people without being overly laden with scripture. I like that people can read it and they feel like they're having a conversation with me, as if I'm sitting there just telling them about it, or as if they're reading my timeline on Twitter. That's really how I wanted people to be able to read it. And so
right.
I've been told that it's an easy read. With the first
mm-hmm.
time I heard that, I thought, easy read? What? Y'all calling me simple? And what am I, elementary with my words? And someone said, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's an easy read. I wanted to read it.
Right.
It was just like that. It was just as if they were, I was telling them my story directly from my mouth. And
mm-hmm.
so there's nothing, I can't think of anything I would change at all. Maybe more pictures.
Right, because I enjoyed the pictures. I really did, because I, you know, had the opportunity to gain on, you know, the overall story. It just kind of tied everything together. So I love the fact that you implemented the, you know, the photos into your writing. And I also adore the fact that you implemented definitions of, you know, things that, like, procrastination and insecurities mm-hmm. and lack of vision. And, you know, you just went on and on and on. And I just took it as not just a book that was kind of outlining your life, but I felt like you was kind of giving an instruction manual to your readers of how to go forward in similar situations, because we all have similar situations or can relate to similar situations. So I just took it as like a handbook, so to speak.
That's
you know,
great.
Like, the, yeah, like the rules and regulations. And if someone didn't know what that particular word meant, then there was a definition.
Right. And I
as
think
opposed,
there's a lot of words.
Yeah. I'm sorry,
there
go ahead.
There are a lot of words that, I'm sorry, there are a lot of words that people, there are a lot of people, we use so many words without really knowing what they mean or knowing the origin. And that's not to get deep into the, you know, etymology. That's not what I'm trying to do. But like you said, even word the word drama, when someone first gave me the title for Dramas of a Bald-Haired Queen, I thought, okay, well, what does this mean? It sounds great. It's catchy. It's great. But what does it mean? So dramas. Dramas being one of the definitions is a series of conflicting events or forces. A series of conflicting events or forces. And so that is what, when people, you know, especially in this age we're in with the love and hip-hop and folk getting the don't get me started, with all of these shows, these reality shows, that is what people call drama. And it is a type of drama, okay? But that is negativity. Dramas, the dramas that I'm bringing to the table and presenting to readers are those events in life that are conflicting. Do I go left or right? Do I go to college or not? Do I take this job or not? Do I grow my hair or not? Am I going to heaven or hell? Do I accept Christ or not? These are the conflicts that I'm sharing and the dramas that I'm sharing in the book. And so it is important for people to not just take words at face value, you know, take the context. You got to use your context clues. You got to, sometimes the simplest word, go look it up and really get an idea of what it is that you're saying out of your mouth before just loosely putting words out into the universe and creating something you had no intention of creating. It's your life. It's your life. And so if you're speaking words that you have no clue about or don't have a clue, I won't even say don't have a clue about, you're using words that you do not have a clear understanding of, then you're losing power. You're losing power. You're not using the power of the words to your to the greatest, greatest, greatest potential. So that's why I included a few, you know, definitions and whatnot, just to help people refocus, I guess.
Yes, and I definitely love the fact that you did all of that, because it just, you know, I felt why you was doing it. It was like your energy was like penetrating from the pages, and I was just like, I know why she did this. I know why, you know, like, you know, I think I know everything sometimes, which I don't, but, you know. You know how we get, like, yeah, I know why, you know, like you're watching a movie and then you'd be like, I know what's going to happen at the end before the end comes.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of reading that. I just took it as like, I know why she's putting these definitions in here, you know, because it's definitely a good look, and I enjoyed it. I really did, and I'm grateful that you were able to put it all together in the time frame that you did. I'm grateful for the fact that we were able to connect, and, you know, you're on here talking about it and sharing the beauty of it all with everyone. I want you to just tell everyone that's interested in, you know, writing, what, you know, something that you think they should know before they take on such a project through your experience.
Woo-wee. If you are interested in writing, I, one, have always known that I wanted to be a writer. So that helped. I did not study English. I did not study creative writing. I've literally, everything that I've done has been out of my heart. I am lucky enough to be a decent writer, naturally. I communicate well. I've always taken pride in communicating well in general. And so that helps. For those that may not be, quote, unquote, a natural writer or, you know, born to do this or whatever, that's fine too. Surround yourself with people who can help you. I know that there were a lot of changes that I needed to make, even in my great writing. A gentleman, my editor, Benjamin Daniels, at Write Right Pugs on, that is WRITERIGHT Pugs on Twitter and Write Right Publications. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing brother. He's a scholar. He is an intellectual. And he and I have two totally different voices when it comes to our writing style. But that was good for me because it would make sense for me to go find someone who writes just like me to read and edit my work, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to read it the same way I'm reading it. So they won't catch the errors. They won't notice that I have too many run-on sentences and that I overuse ellipses and commas. So he definitely has been a blessing in helping me to find not just my creative voice, but my professional voice as a writer. And so if anybody is aspiring to write, start out putting your heart on paper. Writers write. And so you can't talk about writing, being a writer, if you're not writing. So that's the first thing. Once it comes time to put your work together into a manuscript or into a format that you want to put together to put out into the world, trust that you will have to find individuals that will help you do it and do it well. You don't want to just, you know, have your cousin do it because they're free. You have to invest.
Don't do it.
They may have gotten A's on all of their papers in high school and maybe even in college, but that may not be your best route. So just find what works for you. But start out by writing. Writers write. So.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's some good sound advice. So tell people where they can find this book. Now, of course, it's not going to say to Miss P like mine say, but tell them where they can get theirs at.
Right. It will not. My book is available on Amazon.com. So just search Dramas of a Ballhead Queen or Nina Bruton on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. It is also available at indiebound.org, and so that is the largest online independent bookseller in the country, at least. I know that much. Amazon.com is the first place to go. My website is www.baldheadqueen.com, and information is there as well. And if anyone wants to reach me, email me, they can do so through baldheadqueen.com as well. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and the book is available on Kindle. So if you have Kindles, you can do that too. We're working on the Nook and the ebook. I mean the iPub. What is the iPad one? iBook. Working on all of that. So right now it's
definitely
on the Kindle.
Definitely, and that was one of the questions that I wanted to, you know, leave off with as well, because that's what I have kind of brought up in the beginning. I don't know if it's digital, but we'll find out. So definitely get this book. Now, as far as your social media, I put into the chat room where people can find you, but definitely reiterate and let them know that where they can find you at on your social media connections.
Yes, yes, indeed. The same place Miss C found me, or I found her, something.
We found each other.
So we did find each other. I'm on Twitter at Ballhead Queen, at Ballhead Queen. Don't get fancy. It's not Ballheaded Queen. It's Ballhead Queen. Okay. And so you have to say it like that. And I'm on Facebook, Nina Bruton. I'm on YouTube, Ballhead Queen. And again, if you go to www.baldheadqueen.com, you can link me. You can find me everywhere from my website. So.
Yay! I'm excited. And I can't wait to read the next project. So how does that make you feel to know that people enjoyed your book and looking forward to more?
It is humbling and surreal. It really is. And my husband can attest to this, that one of my greatest, even as I was going through, back in June when I was going through the publishing process, one of my greatest fears were that people would love me as an individual and not really read the book and enjoy the book. I have known people, and you know, I'm sure you've known some of these people as well. They put out albums, they put out mixtapes or whatever, books maybe, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible project. It's whack. They can't rhyme. They're terrible, whatever. But because they're your people, you know, people are gassing them up and saying, oh, you know, it's dope. I was so afraid that people would lie to me because they love me as a person. And so it is so exciting to have people, like, really give feedback and really enjoy it and to give out points and, like, you pull that one line that really stood out to you. That's like the equivalent of when I watch a Rolling Stones DVD or video and they have the whole audience is singing their lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel when people give reviews or, you know, when they write reviews online or when they stop me at church or stop me, you know, in the bookstore or whatever. Like, hey, I read what? I'm just a little old me, but my words are impacting individuals, and that means the world to me. It really does. I'm beyond blessed, and to God be the glory. He said,
absolutely.
If I write it, he would take care of the rest. And he's getting it in the hands of those who need it.
Definitely. So Phoenix wanted to say in the chat room that, you know, you rocked that body well, gorgeous. And I said, yes. And Miss Austin said she's on that realness. Love it. So you definitely have some new supporters, Nina. So that's what it's all about. And I definitely want to thank you again for, you know, first off, understanding the first initial interview that we were supposed to be on, but now the link is all yours and is not shared, so it's all about you tonight, baby. So I'm really ecstatic that I had the opportunity to gain, and I feel like I know you, and if you can feel the warm hug coming through the airwaves to you, that's what's happening right now. I want to just thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all the listeners and the people in the chat room. I greatly appreciate it.
Definitely. So this link is on demand. So basically this is your link. And, you know, it's there for people who aren't able to tune in. And it's there for you to use for your website or whatever else you need to use it for. So, yeah. Yay. So thank you so much, Nina. You too. Have a great evening.
You as well. Thank you. Blessings to you all.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yay, so that was Nina C. Bruton, guys, Drama of a Ballhead Queen. Love it, love it, love it. Get the book. Like Austin said, realness, love it. Like Phoenix said, beautiful, loving it. Awesome individual. I'm glad and I'm just really, like, humbled by her because, like I said again, for those who don't have the actual book at this point in time, but you guys will have it the next time we speak. And definitely know that the layout of the book is definitely a good, easy read, and it's just a good look because, like I said again, she puts everything in perspective as far as, like, what she's talking about, and, you know, she did an excellent job with just coming across with her story. And ultimately, you know, I just feel like we all can relate to the diversities and the struggle of alcoholism, of drug addiction, through, you know, having someone that you love or even yourself, you know, being crippled by an illness, mental illness and things of that nature. So definitely get this book. It's affordable, guys. I think it's saying $15.95 here, so get it. Spend $16 and support. Thank you all for tuning in. I really, really appreciate it. And for all those who's tuned in for the first time, I hope it's not your last. Tomorrow night, we will be in tune with Silk the Shocker at 10 p.m. Eastern. So definitely tune in for that. Thank you all. And you babies, have a good night. Bye.
I'm in tune. I'm in tune. I'm in tune. In tune. In tune. In tune. About to take it to the moon. Let's go. I'm in tune. 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 About to take it to the moon. Let's go. Just tune in. Let's count it down from 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let the show begin. With a pretty light skin, diva name Miss P. Shout it, cheat it off the meter. Just as fly as she can be. Hailing from the NYC. I rep that. Nothing like the mother bird. Not at all. What you ain't heard, then tune in. Okay.
You got that joint to stab behind.